Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
And hello from Snowpocalypse Round 2.
Nope.
Well, okay, actually, there's no snow here.
It's Icepocalypse.
It's Icepocalypse. It's still round two for this year.
Not for ice.
There was ice last
time. It was more snow last time.
Okay, fine. How about stuck at home because of weather round two?
Yeah, that works too.
Because I'm not going out there.
I'm not driving at all. We won't be
driving wise. I may go outside, especially if we're going to hit the hot tub.
Right. But we got pictures to take.
Yeah.
Yes, this is your friendly neighborhood Kinky and the Geek, stuck at home.
Yep.
Due to weather, again, which I don't remember doing. It's been a while here in the South for us to have had multiple snow days like this.
Yeah, definitely.
And not so close.
Yeah, these are really close. Like I said, only about 2 weeks apart.
About 2 weeks, yeah. I mean, because everybody's heard about the 2 inches of snow now. I do want to say something that maybe some of our others may not have known, but the reason it got so rough and is there were so many people on the road that we're not equipped for snow to begin with.
Really, I mean,
I forgot when it happened a couple of years ago, there was like barely any trucks. Plus, the way the city of Atlanta is set up is a lot of the major thoroughfares through the city. And I'm not talking about 85, but like a lot of what's considered streets are also considered highways. So there was that whole, well, no, this is the state route. We don't touch this. The state does. So the city wouldn't touch it.
And
the state would go, no, it's within the city limits, so it becomes your problem and stuff like that. But that's not what happened the last time. What happened is there were a lot of people decided that, well, A, it was a weird system because it was really high up in the atmosphere, so that they couldn't really predict it as well as they normally are.
Right, because it would take a particle of dust to suddenly change everything. I mean, it was that unstable, really.
And so there was a lot of things, and we get a lot of shit for closing down early.
The schools get tons of shit if they close down and nothing happens.
Right. Well, this time they decided not to shut down. They decided to do, because they've done this, they would do this in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
When I was going to school up there, is they'd send us to school, and if it started snowing, they'd send us home. Well, this is what they were going to do this time. But on top of that, you had all the government workers got let out at the same time. The regular workers, the private sector got let out.
Everybody got released at the same time, and
what would happen was the snow on the ground on the road would then melt and then get wet. You know, it'd be wet and turn into ice.
I mean, there were literally cars that were frozen to the road by their tires.
Yeah, that happened to a couple of buses too. Yeah, that's why there were some kids that had to stay at school, was because while waiting to load the buses, the snow melted under the tires and froze the tires to the...
Yeah, I don't know how they would have gotten them loose.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Besides going out there and chipping the ice away.
So, yeah, so, but this time it's ice. It happened, didn't really start raining here until midnight last night.
About, yeah.
And so we woke up, I woke up to both my managers calling to tell me that the store was closed. It's like, okay, one would have been fine. You didn't have to both call. It's one of those things where they don't communicate enough to tell who's doing what. So
they both called.
They both called.
Okay, you know. And of course, my work called it yesterday. We closed early. I got there yesterday morning, and my manager was like, yeah, we're not going to be in tomorrow. Just stay on home. And we're closing early today.
Well, so. Yeah. I mean, it was a better safe than sorry scenario because of the way they was talking. Especially when they're talking ice storms. Down here in Georgia, ice storms don't play.
No, they don't. And that was another thing with what happened 2 weeks ago was it hit so quick. There was little response time. And we got ready this time. We were ready this time, but still, ice storms don't play. Mm. You know, I mean, I know the school's got a little shit for being closed yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. It really, yesterday.
It really didn't, but I don't blame them.
Yeah.
After the shit they got 2 weeks ago for not closing, of course they closed yesterday.
Right. So it is one of those things where it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Of course, everybody else is going to make fun of us.
No matter what.
I think my only real concern is come Friday.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be going to an AcroCon this Friday.
Yep. Convention season rolls right along for us. Although there was a convention last weekend. Atlanta's has added a lot more conventions now.
There was
Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Last weekend, which is a horror-based convention. Mm-hmm. I think it's been going on for at least 2 years, maybe.
Something like that.
I had a lot of the Walking Dead cast. I think they had a small reunion of the Devil's Rejects / House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah. We have a lot of baby conventions around here. I call them baby because they're less than 5 years old.
Right.
But
we're going, this weekend is an AcroCon, which is the alternative history / steampunk convention.
Which is technically not a baby one because they had their, 10th anniversary last year?
And they haven't been going on that long.
Yeah, they have.
Really?
Yeah. It's just only really gotten big the last couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because remember they had this special buttons that all of the staff got.
Oh, alright.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess
this is like number 11.
Oh, alright. It's interesting. They seems to, it's history / alternative history / steampunk. And because this year is more of a World War II theme.
Yeah, so it's a little more diesel punk this year, but...
Well, I think it's just... I think what it is...
But nobody really bats anything about mixing our punks.
Right, well, I think what it is it's more of a... It's you almost want to say it's a history convention.
Yeah, and this
with alternative history.
Yeah.
You know, it's a history... That's why I think I want to call it a history / alternative history.
Mm-hmm.
/ steampunk convention.
Yeah.
We'll be there all weekend. You're gonna have your employers are going to be there all weekend.
Oh yeah, we've been doing all kinds of gearing up. Our owner is stoked about this. Yeah, we're gonna have a booth there, and we're gonna be selling pipes and juice, and I think we're gonna be doing a couple of classes.
There's at least three that I've seen because the PDF fort's already up.
Yeah.
The PDF for the schedule is already up. So, I think, hopefully everything will be cleared up by now, because it's supposed to get into the 40s tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have work in the morning. Like I said, my store is taking the wait and see, and we may open late if it melts up tomorrow.
But yeah.
For today, we're here.
Yeah, I can see us maybe being locked in today and tomorrow, but everything being... By tomorrow afternoon, everybody, because it's supposed to get into, the 40s tomorrow.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, which is really weird, because, this weekend, it was, the past weekend before this hit, it was, in the 60s.
Yeah, but that seems to be what Georgia does. We get all this ice, and then we have a warm snap.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
that's what we're doing right now. Besides recording.
Besides recording. So, what do you want to talk about? Since it's back for the second half.
Oh, yes.
And it's been a little bit of a con... I don't know. There's a few people that didn't like it. The Walking Dead's back. Yeah. I know this was something we used to talk about with Amy and Joe and them. So I thought it'd be back.
One episode in.
And what did you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great follow-up to the mid-season finale. And,
right.
I mean, it definitely wasn't... It was a little bit of the cool-down we needed, I think.
Right,
there was still action, but it was kind of more of a, here's where everything's kind of going.
Well, you kind of had to have that, because, if you remember, for those who watch it, and those who are caught up, it was the end of the prison arc.
Mm-hmm.
And both by the comic and in the show, end of the prison arc, you have at least four different storylines, different groups of people which you need to follow to find out what's going on. And this just happened to follow. Episode one started off with Michonne, who's off by herself, and Rick and Carl. Now, for those who read the comic book, the Rick and Carl storyline was almost, I wouldn't say verbatim, but was very, very close to the first two comics after the prison arc.
Yeah. A little different because in the show they kind of already did some of, well...
No, we haven't gotten that far yet. What's interesting is after this arc, if you watch the show, we've already seen the phone arc where he's hearing and talking, where Rick has a bit of a reality break and starts talking to Laurie on a phone.
Which in the comics happened after. After the prison.
Right.
It's a little different because some of the timing's a little different.
Right. In fact, it's supposed to, it would be kicking in right about now if they were following the comic books. It would be after Rick gets better, because in both in the comic and in the show, the end of the prison arc, Rick has been beat to hell. You had to deal with Rick and Carl having to basically grieve over what he thinks is the end of his world, if you think about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, he thinks everybody's dead. As far as he knows, everybody he knows and loves besides his father is dead.
Yeah.
So, of course, plus he's a teenager, so he doesn't know how to react to this kind of stuff. The one thing I really did like, and this wasn't in the comic books, was the Michonne storyline.
Yeah, I was kind of glad they went with that.
We're getting to know a little more about Michonne now than we did in the comics by this time, and I thought what she did and learning the arc of this character really opened her up.
Yeah, it did.
And the actress who plays Michonne is just knocks it the hell out of the park. She
really does. They did so well casting her.
And I really can't. Can't wait to see what is going to happen now.
Mm-hmm. It didn't help that she was on The Talking Dead afterwards and was like, right. I know things you don't know.
Yeah.
I know things you don't know. That's paraphrasing, but that's what she was doing.
There was a little taunting going on when she did it. Yeah. No, there was some definite taunting.
Yeah, it's like, yes, of course you know things we don't know. You don't have to rub it in our faces.
Yeah. So, I don't know, there's at least one of the people we watch on YouTube that didn't like the episode.
Yeah, well.
But I'm not real sure. I personally, when I listen to what he said, it's like, you can't have action-packed all the time. The comic was never an action-packed thing. It's a
survival thing. Right. So it's not always going to be action. Sometimes you just need down drama.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, see, that's why I didn't mind. That's one of the reasons why I didn't mind this. Everybody seems to be really down on season two, which was taking place on the farm.
Yeah, but no, that was because they needed to. They were doing character building.
Yeah, you were bringing in a brand new group of characters. You had a lot of story arcs that needed to come to a head. Plus, you needed to learn more about these people because you only had, at the time, what, six episodes?
Yeah.
To really get to know this group of people?
They used season two
to build a world. Yeah.
More world building. It made you care, when you really think back on it, it made you care about these characters.
Right.
And that's what it needed to do.
I mean, like, when in season one, when Laurie's sister died, not Laurie, Andrea's sister dies, you don't really know enough about her to really be that invested.
You're sad
that it happened because you're watching Andrea go through all this, but...
Yeah.
So when other people die later on, especially towards the end of season two...
It means more.
Yeah, or when the entire scene of, at the end of the... the end of the first arc of season two, the bar, with the barn.
Mm-hmm.
That was more impactful, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so we'll be talking more about Walking Dead as we put this up. This is one of those things. Although we do have a lot of shows that we watch. We may want to talk. If there are any of the shows that we watched you'd like us to talk more about, Arrow, Supernatural,
Blacklist.
Oh God, that show.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
In fact, we may do an entire TV episode at some point where we talk about our favorite shows.
But if you want to hear more about a particular show, what we think and stuff, tweet us, email us, leave us a message on the WordPress, Facebook.
Yeah.
Let us know, because we're more willing to do it.
If not, we'll just keep rambling on. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
And now, we move to our sexy articles of the week. Yeah, I happened to come across this. One of the things is, because I follow Playboy and Playboy Plus online. Mm-hmm. And they had a thing where it seems that the Playboy, their online thing has a week in sex.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I'd go through and kind of pick up some of their articles for the weekend sex. So, first one. She has not seen any of these, and I have not read through most of these, so it'll be interesting to get. First one is off Slate.com. It's college men and women express different sexual regret. Could cave people be to blame? Dun, dun, dun. Okay, in a new study published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, a team of evolutionary psychologists queried 200 American college students on their greatest romantic and sexual regrets. They found that female students were more likely to express regrets over sexual actions they have taken, like losing their virginity to the wrong partner, while male students were more likely to feel remorse over actions they did not take, like being too shy to indicate sexual attraction to someone. You might expect this study could reveal interesting differences on how male and female college students express anxiety around early sexual relationships. Could lead insight into the engendered pressures on campus sexual culture exerts on men and women. It could offer clues to college health providers on how to guide students towards healthier and happier sexual relationships. But no, this is evolutionary psychology.
Oh boy.
Whatever modern attitudes these teens are scribbling out for class credit don't just apply to the dorm room. They also are also evidence of deeper ingrained sexual differences that have been carved into our brains since the Stone Age. As the study authors put it, the result shows that the psychology of sexual regret was shaped by sex differences in selection pressures operating over deep time. And if you hear any weird noises in the background, it's the cat, who is...
Our cat has decided recently that he is a bard.
Yes.
And he sings us the songs of his people quite freely. So...
And also, I think he's baiting the dog to come and chase him.
Yeah, they've actually started playing together.
It's one of those things that you kind of tell, well, A, he initiates it.
Yeah.
And B, he doesn't have any of the, like, hackles up, and his tail's not five sizes too big, you know.
Right.
Bigger, so.
Okay. The puppy's sleeping.
Yeah, puppy's sleeping, that's. Okay.
Or was,
yes, here we go. And off to the races! Go find out what's going on. Okay. So let's take a look on how evolutionary forces molded the psyches of the horny modern undergraduate. According to the study's authors, 20% of the college women surveyed said they regretted a relationship that progressed too fast sexually, compared to 10% of men surveyed. Why? Because back when our ancestral foremothers were dragging around random dudes back to the cave, just one ill-considered hookup would set her up with 40 weeks of pregnancy, not to mention a significant lactation period, that required a ramped-up caloric intake. I'm paraphrasing here, but that's in the article. Betting on the wrong hunter could leave a mother and child vulnerable at a time when the resources were particularly scarce, the authors argue. So that's why girls down the hall won't put out on the first date. Maybe if you buy her dinner first. Meanwhile, 14% of college men surveyed they regretted missed sexual opportunities by staying in a bad relationship, compared to 9% of women. What could account for this fairly insignificantly disparity? Our ancestral's forefathers committed to just one woman. He tied up his resources, that's in parentheses, and prevented himself from securing additional mating opportunities with additional fertile women. So if your sophomore boyfriend seems revengeful when you two broke up, it was probably because of all those nights watching Netflix together prevented him from knocking up your entire graduating class. As for 9% of the women who expressed their regret in their missed opportunity, who knows, maybe they're just less involved.
Okay.
So basically, I'm not even going to read the rest of this, but basically I guess the idea is that, which is interesting because this kind of harkens back to that, the article we read a couple of episodes ago about social monogamy.
Yeah.
So it's all perspective if you really think about it, because you could have another group of people come across, take the same data and come up with something completely different. It just all depends on what branch they study. Mm-hmm. You could probably take modern psychologists and turn it into something completely different, whether these guys are the evolutionary thing. Mm-hmm. So I found this and I thought it was funny because of what happened at the strip club.
Yes. This article.
Yes, I'll read the title real quick, and then we'll get into the story about why it's funny. The title of it is "Pubic Hair is Back" or something. Again. this was funny because it was me and the bunny here, mm-hmm, with the Gimpy and the Kitty decided to go to our favorite strip club, the Pink Pony.
Yep.
And we got into a discussion about how. I think we had noticed how few. Oh, one of the dancers we got had pubic hair.
Right.
But if you looked around, there wasn't a whole lot of pubic hair. And we got into the discussion about how pubic hair, especially under a certain age, uh-huh, has pretty much disappeared.
True.
And how I think I had started talking about an article about pubic hair as this was going on. A shooter girl comes up.
Uh-huh.
On us as we're talking and says something, and I got embarrassed. Which I think everybody reveled in. Especially the shooter girl and the cat, because Kitty likes to see me turn red.
Yeah, she does.
Well, pubic hair is back or something. Which is funny because the picture they've used for the article is a swap of carpet. Pubic hair is back in, apparently. No, not because we've suddenly found it sexy again, but because most of us have just given up the fight. Men don't care, and ladies don't seem to have time in between running Fortune 500 companies and binge-watching Scandal. According to the Telegraph, 51% of 1,870 women, that's a weird number, who answered an online pharmacy poll in the UK, said they didn't style or groom their pubic hair, while 45% say they can no longer be bothered keeping up with grooming. 62% revealing that their partners prefers the natural look. Ladies, throw away those razors immediately or save them for your legs or an art project. An art project involving your legs, eh? Eh? Or keep shaving, waxing, or do whatever the fuck you want. It's your pubic hair. Grow it in dreads, and you use those dreads as hair for your doll collection. It's your hot body. You know what you want. Which would be interesting if they polled the same women here in America.
Yeah.
Because there does seem to be a different views on pubic hair depending on where you are in the world.
Yeah, there does seem to be.
Just hair, body hair in general.
Yeah. Because we've all heard the story of the European women with the...
With the armpit hair, right.
Hanging out of their clothes.
Right, yeah. So... Yeah, it would be... I mean, it's interesting. It's a UK one.
Would be interested to see what the US results would be.
Right, because like I said, and I may have brought this up on here, but there used to be... Playboy used to do... when they would do on Facebook, they used to put up pictures from their favorites when they would do city auditions, where they go around taking, you know, women who would come and audition to be playmates in different cities, and they would put up some of their favorites.
Right.
And usually Playboy Playmate, you know, especially the centerfolds, are usually between the ages of about 18 and 25.
Right.
And I had started noticing that if they did show, and it wasn't always a full body shot, you didn't always see the pubis mound.
Right.
But when you did, it was a good, I want to say at least one out of every 10 may have had hair.
Right.
Shaped in it. Everybody else has been bald. You go to your average strip club, and if you look around, the majority of the strippers
are
shaved bald.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is kind of interesting, and it does seem to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
The younger girls are very anti-hair. I just find it stuff like that just kind of is interesting, because it does bring up, you know, the differences in ages and stuff like that. Here's another one from our friends in the UK. Mail Online UK. Dailymail.co.uk.
Yeah.
It's under the health article. This is why sex is good for your brain and also staves off everything from heart disease to cancer and headaches if you keep up with it. Having more sex not only makes us feel good, it could also provide far-reaching health benefits. Unfortunately, we are having less of it. On average, we have sex fewer than 5 times a month, compared to the 6.5 times 20 years ago, according to a national survey of sexual attitudes and lifestyles. Again, this is in the UK. Yet studies have linked regular sexual activity to emotional well-being, reducing migraine pain, and even a lower risk of prostate cancer. A Canadian study last month found that a half hour of sexual activity could burn more calories than walking on a treadmill. Researchers claim that sexual activity could be considered a significant exercise.
Oh, I'd already figured that.
Well, I think that's kind of been... They've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Study measured the sexual activity of 21 couples aged between 18 and 35. They monitored using an armband to calculate how many calories were burned and the intensity of the activity. A typical session lasting 25 minutes, men burned on the average of 100 calories, the women 69. The intensity of the activity was measured by METs, the metabolic equivalent of TASC. For men, the average rating was 6 METs, and for women it was 6.6. It is roughly the same as playing doubles tennis or walking uphill for 20 minutes. 33 minutes of golf on a driving range, or 40 minutes of yoga, or 19 minutes of light rowing. The Canadians findings claim, with past campaigns by the British Heart Foundation, suggests that 30 minutes of daily sex is good for you as walking the dog. And considering in Britain they have that thing called dogging, it's the same thing. You not heard of dogging?
I don't think I have.
Dogging is basically an act of outdoor sex, where you basically have sex in a park, and you... Depending on how you set your car up, depends on how you want the people who are walking around pretending to walk their dog.
Okay.
Well,
go Britain.
Yeah. It's called dogging. In fact, I may have to look up the thing for you. Indeed, research is now showing that sex provides a triple whammy of benefits, combining a workout for the heart and lungs, the release of hormones that could lower stress and production of new brain cells, and, for women, the added plus of a toning effect on the muscles in the pelvic floor.
Well, that's good.
Graham Jackson, a consultant cardiologist and president of Sexual Advice Association, says, "We've known for a long time that sex had health benefits, but it's only in the past decade that the taboo has been lifted from sex research in Britain. This has led to more studies in the area," said Dr. Jackson. Boost for the lung and the heart. Increasing doctors view sex as an underused resource in terms of physical and emotional well-being, says Dr. Ung Gunash, a private GP with special interest in health benefits of sex. "Plus, it's not emphasized enough as a really good form of exercise." Okay, let's see. We're doing all this. Okay, here we go. "It's not only just the heart and lungs that get a workout. Last week, scientists at the University of Maryland in the U.S. discovered middle-aged rats made more brain cells after mating. The process, called neurogenesis, okay. Took me a second to read it to realize how to say it.
The print's kind of small on that.
Yeah. Is, though, to restore brain function lost through aging. In particular, the benefits were seen in the hippocampus, the region of the brain where new memories are formed. The rats' brains function improved after long periods of sexual activity, especially in the hippocampus region. A huge amount of brain stimulus occurs during intercourse," commented Dr. Gosh. "That's why we feel so overtaken when we orgasm," he says. "When researchers do MRI scans on people in orgasm, they observe both sides of the brains being stimulated, including parts of the brain that we don't normally use."
Where do I sign up for that research?
"It's still important to note the study were on rats. We still don't know if neurogenesis happens significantly in humans," says Dr. Wrigley of the Alzheimer's Research Council. "Plus, any improvement in the brain power were lost once the animal sexual activity stopped. So we can't assume any benefits to their brain for long term." Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's talking about how the health benefits, and we'll put up the entire thing, because this is a long article.
Yeah, it is.
But this is kind of stuff they've been talking about for years now, yeah, about the different health. And again, this being a UK article, it may be just because of the stigma of sex research tends to be a little off-putting, mm-hmm, especially in Britain, that being a little proper. So, last but not least, and this one is off IO9. I just thought this was funny. I'm not going to read the article around it because all we got to do is just read what we have here. And this is a map of the weirdest sex laws in the United States of America.
Okay.
Let's see. We will start with Iowa. It basically goes around the country, so we'll start at the top, which will be in Iowa. Kisses may last no longer than 5 minutes.
Uh-oh. We'd have been in trouble.
Especially the first time we met. Michigan. 5 years in prison for seducing an unmarried woman.
Really?
Cool dating.
Yeah.
In New York, adultery is illegal, which I'm sure if you looked around, there are a lot of states out there where there are, I want to say Georgia is one of them, where you could be arrested for having an adulterous affair. If you really wanted to do, if you really wanted to press the Kinevere, New Hampshire. No hanging lingerie on a clothesline near an airport. The airport.
I'd love to hear the story of how that one
got. Hayden Township, New Jersey. Flirting is illegal.
What? How are... Nah.
Virginia, obscenity is a bigger crime if you use a computer.
Okay.
North Carolina, you can't pretend to be married to share a hotel room. Tennessee, students may not hold hands in school. Florida, married couples cannot engage in open lewdness. So what's the point of being married?
Yeah.
Mississippi, no explaining polygamy to anyone.
Well, it is Mississippi.
It is Mississippi. Although I'm kind of surprised they don't have on the, on Alabama, the fact that
you, can't.
You cannot own, you cannot buy, sell, or own sex toys.
Yeah. You get caught with them in Alabama and it's big no-no.
Yep. New Orleans, Louisiana, fortune tellers cannot use their power to settle love quarrels. Oh, cause New Orleans.
Yeah.
Texas, you can't own more than 6 dildos.
Well, that's not fair.
Well. Oklahoma, bar owners must not allow simulated animal sex.
Yeah.
Which is funny because these laws usually start because something has happened.
Yeah, like I said, there's some of these I'm like, I would love to hear the story of how that got enacted.
Let's see, Arizona, no more than 2 dildos in the same house.
Once again, not fair.
Adams County, Colorado, male masseuses must wear
all
white clothing.
Okay.
California, no selling booby pillows within 1,000 feet of a highway.
What? Okay.
Utah, no marrying your first cousin until the age of 65. Washington, give a sex worker a ride to work, you lose your car. And to wrap it up, yeah. In Nebraska, you can't get married if you have gonorrhea.
Okay, then.
So.
Yeah, even the dog doesn't get that one.
No, I don't get that one either. I don't get a lot of this stuff. I know there was one. There was a thing, and I want to say it was a. It was in a Playboy article. It was around the time Georgia's sodomy law came up. They had a list of different ones, and that was where they had, again, Rhode Island had a $10 fine for fornication. And Mississippi had a special law about no sex between underaged, or between teachers and guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, on that note, I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Sure.
And again, you have any suggestions? Want to talk about certain shows? Want to talk about any kind of certain topics? You know how to reach us. We're your Kinky and a Geek everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Gmail, Twitter,
WordPress, Facebook, FetLife.
FetLife. And I think even in your mama's underwear drawer.
Maybe. Not mine.
I've checked.
Not mine.
Okay. All right. Well, as we say every week, be good.
Be good at it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.